From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. In Ohio, lawyers for a man convicted of murder are asking the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider his case. John Byrd was found guilty of killing a convenience store clerk. He is scheduled to be executed. If it goes ahead, this will be the third execution in Ohio since the state reinstated the death penalty 2 decades ago. But this case has spurred a debate about the death penalty itself, in part because of the way Byrd is chosen to die. From Columbus, NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
On a cool spring night in April 1983, Monty Tewksbury was working alone at a convenience store in a middle-class suburb of Cincinnati. The 40-year-old father of three, a clinical monitor for drug tests at Procter & Gamble, often moonlighted to help make ends meet. At 11 o'clock that night, three men wearing stocking masks and one carrying a large knife entered the store. Shortly after, Tewksbury called his wife, Sharon.
And he said, you know, very simply, "Sharon, I'm hurt. I've been robbed. The store's been robbed. You need to get here and you need to get help." And in my heart, I knew it was bad. I could just tell from the sound of Monty's voice.
Leaving her children with the neighbor, Sharon Tewksbury raced to the convenience store and found her husband lying on the floor with a gaping knife wound in his side. Even now, Tewksbury's face shows considerable grief as she remembers how the police questioned her husband while medics took him to a nearby hospital.
And they did every heroic thing that they could possibly do to save his life. So in a couple of hours, in a private waiting room, an entourage of doctors came in to tell me what I already knew, that they couldn't save him. And he bled to death.
Later that night, police stopped a vehicle and noticed a knife on the dashboard. Three men were arrested and charged with robbery. One of the men, John Byrd, a 19-year-old drifter, was also charged with the murder of Monty Tewksbury. In August 1983, Byrd was convicted and sentenced to die.
Thanks. Oh, that's okay. We all have a job.
Inside the prison in Mansfield, Ohio, just north of Columbus, there are a series of long halls with heavy metal doors you have to clear before entering the claustrophobic confines of death row. In the small library off the main corridor, a bulletin board is cluttered with newspaper articles about the death penalty. John Byrd, his feet shackled with chains, shuffles into a room and tries to offer a handshake but is constrained by handcuffs. 6'2" and beefy, the now 37-year-old Byrd has always maintained his innocence. 18 years after he was convicted and with his final appeals running out, Byrd says he will not go quietly. To assure that, he's chosen to be electrocuted to protest what he calls the cruelty of capital punishment.
With electrocution, it's out there. You see what people are actually doing. You see an actual murder being committed. It's gruesome. And I know what I'll go through if this reaches that point. But I'm willing to do that in order to make my statement that capital punishment is not justified, and it's surely not the will of God. If society is going to support something that takes the life of another human being, then they have to see it for what it is.
Under Ohio law, Byrd does have the choice of how he wants to be executed. Ohio is one of 10 states that allow electrocution as an alternative to lethal injection. Two other states, Nebraska and Alabama, rely on the electric chair as the sole means of execution. But Reginald Wilkinson, director of Ohio's Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections, says carrying out an electrocution could traumatize his staff.
Because that process is not instantaneous. With a lethal injection, you never know what's going on. It's almost as if the inmate has just fallen asleep. And that's what it appears to be like in many instances with the staff. That is not going to be the case with an electrocution.
Wilkinson has been outspoken about getting rid of the electric chair, and Byrd's decision has reaffirmed his argument. After Byrd announced he wanted to be electrocuted, the Ohio General Assembly considered fast-tracking legislation that would eliminate that type of execution. But there was a concern that denying Byrd his choice would lead to yet another round of appeals. Some officials worry that if his electrocution is botched, it could affect the public's strong support for the death penalty. Opponents of capital punishment hope that just the grisly nature of electrocution will help revive the death penalty debate and give Byrd, at the very least, another stay of execution. But Michael Allen, the Hamilton County prosecutor overseeing the Byrd case, doubts that will happen.
The anti-death penalty people are, frankly, a very small minority of people in the state of Ohio. They're very vocal. They know how to play the system. They're good at the PR end of things. They're not a majority by any step of the imagination. And, you know, if they think that this is going to, that Byrd's choosing the electric chair is going to help their cause, fine, more power to them. It matters not to me how he chooses to meet his maker. What matters to me is that justice is finally carried out after 18 long years.
Allen calls Byrd's decision a ploy to buy him time before he's strapped into the state's 104-year-old electric chair. But Byrd's lawyer, David Boddicker, says if his client is granted another stay, it will allow defense lawyers to expose what he calls an extremely shaky case. Boddicker says there was little incriminating evidence against Byrd and that his conviction was based on testimony of someone Boddicker calls a jailhouse snitch, who he charges lied on the stand and was then paroled soon after the trial. Boddicker says the prosecutors rushed to convict Byrd.
There are so many holes in this case, it's like a sieve, and so many things that were done by them which were inappropriate, so many what I consider to be issues of misconduct. The trial is a travesty. To electrocute someone based upon that kind of procedure, I think should cause revulsion.
And that's what Boddicker says he hopes will sway an appeals court. But even though Byrd's lawyers have unearthed evidence since his trial, including a murder confession from one of Byrd's accomplices, his appeal has been rejected by several courts. Sharon Tewksbury says she's sickened by the last-minute blitz by his supporters.
You know, I am not up to listening to all this rhetoric and all of this new information and all of this new evidence that I truly believe are just last-minute attempts to change the outcome, and that those who are doing it are willing to do anything, whether it's honorable or not, to make that happen.
But Byrd has only a few channels left to him, including an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Still, Byrd hopes the way he's chosen to die will force a re-examination of capital punishment.
As long as the death penalty is permitted to be used, innocent people won't be executed. There's too many flaws and too many cases.
Unless an appeals court grants a stay, Byrd will be electrocuted, leaving behind a family that has waited almost two decades for his death and others who feel he shouldn't have died in the electric chair. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Columbus.